Well, tonight I thought we would talk a little bit more about leadership. We've been talking about leadership this year to some degree, and thinking about the need for leaders. We've been trying to look at some of the qualities and characteristics of good leaders that we find in the Bible, and some of the great ideas and concepts about leadership in the Bible. We know from our previous studies that leaders provide good examples, and also that leaders are those kinds of people who help others to get involved. And tonight, we would like to talk a little bit about leaders inspiring us to a shared vision, because that's something that a good leader needs to do. He really needs to be able to help us to see what the future holds and how we're going to work toward the goals and objectives that we all commonly have in the organization in which we participate in. Of course, we're talking about the church here. Well, leaders will inspire a shared vision because they know that vision is necessary in order to go forward. That without a vision, that you have something of chaos, but that with a vision, there's direction and there's a future that you can look forward to and one can be involved in. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs 29 and verse 18 for just a moment. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. This is really a good verse to think about in reference to vision. It's not necessarily talking about the type of vision that we're thinking about, but it does have in mind the same idea or concept, the same principle, if you will. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, where there is, and this is the New King James Version, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. The King James Version said, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. So, and the idea there is that we need guidance. We need something to ground us so that we can go forward and we won't be without an aim and without guide. And the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and it conveys all kinds of wonderful nuggets of wisdom. And here in this particular proverb, vision or revelation is important. And while the context is referring to divine revelation of the prophets, prophets were those who were able to look into the future and see down the stream of time and be able to report to the present those things that were going to happen in the future. And so, for example, when Isaiah writes about the future, and he writes about the nation of Israel and the wonderful future that that nation has in store for her, it inspires those individuals who may be going through difficult times, you know, to really see a time when things are going to be better and when things are going to be more in line with what we really would like to have. Because the truth of the matter is that when we're in our daily work, so to speak, or when we're in our daily processes, sometimes things aren't so fun. They don't go as smoothly as we think they ought to go. And maybe it's something as simple as I'm going to get out there and mow the lawn, you know, and all of a sudden while you're mowing the lawn, you hit a rock. And the rock does what? It careens off into the window. And the window cracks and breaks, you know, and you have to replace the back door on the house. That's happened to me before. And it wasn't a lot of fun, but it was what it was. And so now I've got this project of replacing the back door. Not exactly what I was hoping for. I was hoping for a green lawn, a clean lawn, right? And now I've got a broken window. So things don't always go the way that we want them to. And we need to have that vision in mind that so that we can keep going along, and it will help us to see the future, see a bright future. And leaders paint a picture of a bright future. And I think that's something that we definitely need in our leaders. And they have a picture in mind, and they know what things should look like down the road, and they want things to be well, and they need to communicate that to us. They need to know how to participate in the process of really informing us as to what that future is going to look like. Jesus was a master visionary. He really had an idea of what the future was going to be like. Of course, he had divine insight into that future, but he also was able to really use words to paint that picture so that people could see what it would be like, and they would want to participate in that future that he had planned for them. And that's the kind of thing that we want to do today as well. And as leaders within the church, leaders who are within the church need to inspire that shared vision. Now, what happens when we inspire a shared vision, and what is the possibility of not happening when we don't inspire a shared vision? Well, first of all, not having vision results in disaster. And I think that this is a principle that's very clear to all. If you talk to any businessman or person who is getting about the business of, you know, selling their widgets or whatever it is that they do, they will have some kind of a plan. They're going to go out and they're going to knock on so many doors or call so many people or visit so many customers, and they're going to try to drive in the business. What business survives without a plan for the future? I remember when I worked at the Alcatel Network Systems in Dallas many years ago, and I learned so many things about business and about how it works when I started working there. And one of the things that I learned very quickly was that the salesman had to be involved in what was called forecasting. And I was like, well, what is forecasting? You know, I'd never heard anything like that. I thought a forecast was something you watched on the weather, you know, at night. And they said, no, we have to project how many sales we're going to have, and we have to get those numbers in. We have to tell the vice presidents and the presidents, you know, what the future's going to look like and how we're going to drive the business forward, you know. And that was important stuff, and they had to have those forecasting numbers in to the leaders in the business, so that the leaders in the business would be able to talk about, well, this year we're anticipating $50 million in sales on this product line and all of this kind of stuff, you know. And I asked one of the guys, I said, well, what? How do you know how much business you're going to have before you even have it, you know? And he said, oh, we just make numbers up and give it to them. Because, you know, a lot of it's guesswork. But that's the idea. And you give somebody a future, you drive for that future, and you work toward it. Governments also want to provide for them the safety and the freedom of their people. And how do they do that without planning for the future? Well, God also understands the need to have vision. And God made plans for our salvation, you know, before time even began. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11 tells us about the eternal purpose of God in providing for the church through the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we might have an opportunity to be united together in His one family. And He made those plans, and He fulfilled those plans, and now we're the beneficiary of those plans. And so God's vision, we get to participate in God's vision today, and that's a wonderful, blessed thing. But Jesus has plans for all the nations. He wants His gospel to go to everyone. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20 tells us to take the gospel into the whole world, as well as Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Jesus' intention was that the gospel would go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost part of the world, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The apostles then made plans under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to take that gospel to the Gentiles and to others. Well, what if God had had no vision? What if he'd have said, well, you know, let's just leave mankind to do whatever they want. Where would we be today? You know, we would be lost in our sins, and we certainly wouldn't have the church. We certainly wouldn't have hope for salvation. And so God has plans, and he wanted to fulfill those plans. And so he has set the example for us in that regard by providing a vision, if you will, for the church, and providing, if you will, a vision of a great future of reconciliation with him and eternity in the presence of God. But without some kind of vision, we would have no purpose. We would have no goals. We would have no agenda. We would be rudderless, like a vessel at sea, you know, just without any kind of motive whatsoever and without any kind of direction. And before too long, you know, spiritually speaking, we would starve and we would die out, and then we wouldn't have anywhere to go at all, and we'd just be sitting out there, an old hulk with nowhere to go. And that's not the kind of people I think that we want to be. I don't think that's how we want to see ourselves. I think we want to be the kind of people that goes forward, that we have a direction, we have an aim, and that we have a future that we're looking forward to, and that we want to work toward that future. I think that's something that we need to really consider as we think about having vision. And so, without vision, all kinds of bad attitudes can creep in as well, such as apathy. You know, when no one knows what to do or where to go, they end up just throwing their hands up and saying, well, why should I care about anything? And they give up. And laziness. You know, it's so easy to just kind of sit back and not do anything when there is no vision and people just don't do anything. And then confusion as well. People don't know exactly what to do. And so there may be problems that result because there is no vision. And so having no vision is a recipe for disaster. And we really need to have a vision so that we can have all of these things, purpose and goals and agenda, so that we can be concerned about the work of the Lord, so that we can do that work, and so that there will be clarity in regard to the future and in regard to what we each need to do. But then secondly, having vision improves industry. And that's kind of one of the points that I was talking about earlier, is that without a vision, people become lazy. But with a vision, there is industry. What do I mean by industry? Well, I mean an energetic devotion to a task or an endeavor, or diligence. You know, when I was, again, harking back to my days in the business world, I used to write status reports. And on a weekly basis, I would sit down and I would talk about, here is what we've accomplished this week. Here is what we're expecting to do next week. You know, and just put that out there for my bosses to see so that they would know what we were working on. And they really appreciated that. And that really helped us to get organized and to go forward as well. Well, God's vision for man's salvation includes a great work for man to do. And it has organized us in such a way, and he has organized us in such a way so that we can go forward with that vision. We have the gospel to take to the whole world. There is some knowledge that we need to study his word and to be approved unto him so that we can be a workman, right? That needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, as Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. We have to do good to those who are in need, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all of those who have needs, especially those of the household of the faith. We need to exhort the faithful. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says, but exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest we be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. God has created us to do good works. Ephesians chapter 2 And verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Knowing God's vision improves our industry. It helps us to be focused. And leaders need to remind people exactly what God's vision is and exactly what God expects in regard to executing that vision. And our vision is to work God's vision in a local setting. And so we have the opportunity then to fulfill God's vision within our life by going out and talking to others about the gospel. Now, leaders, good leaders, will recognize that people need some guidance and need some direction, and they will put down kind of a local vision, and they will say, well, now here's what we think we can accomplish here in the city of New Boston. And they might put down some numbers, and they might put down some figures, and sometimes there'll be a budget of some kind or of some sort, one kind or another. And that information is then shared with the congregation to let the congregation know that this is what we want you to be involved with. This is how we want you to work. These are the kinds of things we want you to do. When we have a vision, we will set those goals. Where do we expect our congregation to be in 5 years? What about 10 years? How about 15 years? 20 years? You know, what are our expectations in that regard? And do our leaders have these expectations in mind? We need to plan to accomplish these goals. We need to think about the future in order to execute a vision. And so there will be something, so that there will be something to do, and everyone will have something to do. And when we have something to do, it gives us purpose, it gives us a sense of well-being, and it gives us a sense of accomplishing those goals. And we need goals to accomplish. Without goals to accomplish, again, we tend to be kind of aimless and we don't know quite what to do. And we will rejoice when the work is done. We'll look back on that vision and say, you know, we planned to do this 5 years ago, and look, here we got it done now. And when we got it done, we're happy, we rejoice that we've been able to meet this goal, these goals and objectives. And that's a wonderful thing. So having a vision improves our industry. It helps us to move forward with the work. But then third, having vision improves attitudes. You know, when you don't know what to do, or you don't think you have anything to do, it's really easy to get downhearted, you know, and to think, well, I don't have anything to do. And you know, this is something that we have to deal with kids quite a bit, right? They come around and, Dad, I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. Of course, you know, what does Dad and Mom say? Well, clean your room, you know, make your beds, go do some laundry, go outside, wash the car, you know, mow the grass. Oh, we don't want to do any of that, all right? They want to be entertained is what they want. But as people, we kind of fall into that kind of mentality sometimes as well. And so that's why it's important for good leaders to give us a vision so that we know what to do and so that it will improve our attitudes. We won't sit around, you know, twiddling our thumbs, being bored, thinking, well, what can I do? With a good leader is always going to help us to understand what we can do. The old adage, idle hands are the devil's workshop, is certainly appropriate, because when we don't have anything to do, the devil is going to certainly find something for us to do. And we really don't want to let him guide our life. With vision, our attitudes will improve, because we will have some things to do, and also in doing these things, we'll be working together. We'll be loving one another as God wants us to. We'll have that unity that we so desire. We'll have that common purpose and those common goals to pursue. We'll have a focus that is unlike anything else. We will have a good morale as a result of our accomplishments. And so the attitudes will get better and they will improve over time. Happiness, gladness, joy, all of these wonderful positive attitudes will result from having a clear and guided vision. And our leaders can give us that. And good leaders will do that. Consider John's words in 3 John 1 and verse 4. He says, "Greater joy have I none than this, to hear of my children walking in truth." You know, John really gives us a great vision in the books of 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. And he really helps us to understand and see some things about the Christian walk. And so as those people read those books and they learned from them, then he wrote back again and he said, "It's such a joy to hear that you are walking in the truth now. And that you have seen the vision and that you've implemented it within your life." Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, "Make full my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." And so there is a certain mindset that he set forth to the church at Philippi. And that mindset was designed to give them a unity of purpose, a unanimity of desire, and for them then to fulfill that within their life. And that brought Paul joy. It brought him a great contentment and satisfaction, knowing that they were involved in that. And we can have that same joy. We can have that same contentment and satisfaction. And it can be driven by this vision of the future that our leaders set before us. And so, with a clear vision, our attitudes will improve, and we will not wander aimlessly. Now think about the children of Israel for just a moment. Right before they were going to enter into the land of Canaan, you know, they sent those 12 spies into the land of Canaan. And they came back, and 10 of those 12 spies brought an evil report, didn't they? "Oh, the men there are like giants. We're like grasshoppers compared to them. There's no way that we're going to be able to go in there and conquer this land." But on the other hand, Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, "We are well able to overcome. Let us go forth." They were men of vision. They trusted in the Lord to do what needed to be done. They realized that it could be done with the Lord's help, and they sought to inspire others to follow in those steps. Now, unfortunately, God's vision did not prevail that day. And as a result, the children of Israel ended up wandering aimlessly in the wilderness for 40 years. Well, we don't need to be like that. We need to see God's vision, seek God's vision, take that vision and implement it into our life, implement it so that it can work in our community, in our environment, and really improve those attitudes around us in the church. But then finally, we need leaders to have good vision because the future literally depends upon it. If we have no vision of the future, what kind of future will we have? It will be unplanned. It will be unorganized. It will be unexpected. And frankly, it won't be something that we'll really enjoy because it will be something that just simply falls apart when it's time to execute. In order to have the kind of future that God wants us to have, both upon the earth and in eternity, we need vision. Living by God's plan will guarantee our eternal future. Our immediate future on earth requires some vision for us to execute God's plan. And we need the plan to do the work, and then when we do the work, we'll fulfill the plan. And to organize effectively is something that will help us in the long run to have that kind of future that we're really looking for. Consider the example of Joseph in Genesis chapter 41. We talked about Joseph recently in our Bible class, and we won't go over all the details again. But remember that dream that Pharaoh had of those seven really nice stalks of grain, and then the seven lean stalks of grain, and then the seven really fat cattle, and then the seven lean cattle. And Joseph came in and interpreted that dream and said, you're going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And you really need to get ready for that, basically, is what he told the Pharaoh. And so the Pharaoh said, well, who can we find among us greater than this one who understands these dreams and has the wisdom of God within him? And so Joseph was appointed over the task. And it was based upon his recommendation that the Pharaoh should make preparation for those years of famine, that he should have a plan, that he should have a vision on how to handle this. And so he put Joseph in charge and he said, you know, make it happen. And because of that, Joseph was then able to save his family and save the people of God. And they were able to have a future as a result of Joseph's vision. The same kind of thing is what we need to think about as well. If we fail to have a vision of the future, there will be no future for us to have. And so leaders are going to inspire a shared vision. They're really going to think about what the congregation can do. They're really going to listen to people, and then they're really going to talk about what the future of this congregation can look like and how that can happen. And they're going to help mold that vision and bring it about so that the congregation can go forward and can be the kind of people that God wants us to be. So we need vision. Not having vision results in disaster. Having vision improves industry, it improves attitudes, and it improves the future itself.